All right, let's put our hands together. Just get ready. Little becomes much. And I'm an illustration, actually, of my own message today, because if you listen, my voice is, it's really down here. Got the Barry White voice going on today. Whole lot of praising going on. I woke up this morning with a fever, so I'm here in weakness. I'm distanced from you. You're okay. This is the spray zone, and I'll try not to spray too much. It's like SeaWorld. You guys get it. I will try not to spray too much this close. But we are bringing our last message in this series of generosity, studying the truth that generosity is the key to abundance in life, and knowing the truth that God would like all of his children, and you're one of them. He would like all of his children to live in abundance. And Jesus said that, and we say that. We'd like you to receive the love of God. But it's not just about receiving the love of God. It's about giving the love of God away. And that's what generosity is all about. So we're going to pick up at the last part of the series, where we actually started in this series with the feeding of the 5,000. And we all know it was not just 5,000. The Bible says there were 5,000 dudes, guys. And wherever there's 5,000 guys, there's at least, I promise you, I know this from church work and spiritual work, wherever there's 5,000 guys, there's at least 5,000 women, because women are more spiritual. I thought there would be an amen. That would be a good place for one. And wherever there's women and children, wherever there's women and men, there's children. And so it probably was a crowd of 15,000, 20,000. It was a lot of people. And little became much. Five loaves and two fish. And this is such an important story, and it's why I'm emphasizing it again in this series. It's such an important story that it is the only miracle recorded in the Gospels, the only miracle that's recorded in all of the Gospels. Sometimes you'll see a story in one Gospel, maybe in Matthew, but it won't be in Luke, or maybe it'll be in Matthew and John. This story of the feeding of the 5,000 is in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. How many would think that God wants us to know about it? He put it there four times. And it's not there just to show off. Jesus didn't do miracles just to show off. He did the miraculous to give us a pathway to abundance. He did the miraculous so that we could understand that there are steps and keys and principles to release the miraculous in our life. And I know that there are people in this room that need the miraculous today. In your home or marriage, you need the miraculous. And I'm just telling you, you're in a good place, because the people around you believe in the miraculous. And we'd like you to experience the miraculous. You may need the miraculous in your finances, in your business. You may need the miraculous in your health. Maybe there's an issue that nobody else knows. You've come here today, nobody else knows, but God knows. And you need a miracle. You're in the right place. Maybe it's a relationship issue that needs the help of God. He is miraculous. And this important story in the Gospels is there to show us the pathway to the miraculous, how to prepare for the miraculous. We are receiving, and we're asking our beloved friends here to engage in a sacrificial offering. It's part of our teaching on generosity. We're not just talking about generosity. We're actually saying, hey, we're teaching about it, but we're asking you to experience it. And that will, we believe, bring miraculous results. So, a few things. If you have your study guide, I want you to pull it out. And a few principles we're going to talk about today from the feeding of the 5,000. And if you need the miraculous, here's how it happens. First of all, if you need the miraculous, be very, very, very aware it's not all about you. That's so important. Because sometimes when you have a great need, it becomes all about you. But it's not. The very first principle is it's not all about you. The key to the miraculous is seeing the needs of others. That's how the story begins. It's a feeding of the 5,000. It was a miracle, but it begins in Mark 6, where we are today, Mark 6 and 34, with Jesus seeing the multitudes and being moved with compassion. So Jesus saw the crowds, and Jesus never just sees crowds. He sees individuals. Even this room, he looks into this room. He doesn't just see a crowd of people. He sees you individually. I would love, it's sort of a secret fantasy of mine, to come to church and say, let's lock the doors. And just go and have a conversation, a personal conversation with everyone in the room. Because that would be so enriching for me. There are things I could learn from you. And Jesus, when he sees you, he doesn't just see a crowd. He sees an individual, and he sees your needs. And so he saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. And the first step to moving into the miraculous is to see the needs of others, and like Jesus, be moved with compassion. I love this week that we've just been through as a church family, because for 18 years we've been taking meals and giving out food, the 3,000 plus meals we gave out in Palmetto at our Hope Center that feeds people every week, and the church in Palmetto had an outreach to feed people, and then the outreach that we had in the communities that we minister to every week. We don't just show up and give food out on Thanksgiving. We minister to these families every week. We take the Jesus truck down. We talk about the love of God. We talk about the message of Jesus Christ. We talk about the gospel of Christ. And we minister to people's needs, because we've got to see the needs in our community. I know we look at Sarasota, but Sarasota has some deep needs. We have some people in Sarasota that are down and out. And we can't just turn a blind eye. We have a lot of people in Sarasota that are up and out. Yeah. They're living behind gates and walls, but they've got the same needs, and we've got to see them and be moved with compassion. One of the things that happened to me when I was out with the team for Thanksgiving was I felt to go to a house that wasn't on our list, and there was a guy there, and so our team was at this door, and they were knocking at the door, but I went over here, and I just said, hey, how are you? What's your name? He says, Jimmy, I'm Jimmy. I said, well, great to meet you, Jimmy. Happy Thanksgiving. Could you do us some food? He said, I really could. I said, that's awesome. We have food, and we've got these people that we're designated to give it to. But if we have extra, Jimmy, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give you some food. Would that be okay? He said, oh, that would mean the world to me. So sure enough, we had some extra meals, and I came back to Jimmy, and Jimmy was a former pastor who had drifted away from God. It was providential. I said, well, Jimmy, I'm a pastor too, and I'm here to just remind you that the calling of God that is on your life has never left. It's there, and God sent me today to bring the love of God to you and to pray with you that that passion would be restored. And he started to cry. See, we have to see things and be moved with compassion. We have to see needs. One of the needs that we're focusing our team on here is just the need of getting the message out from this place through technology to others. And it actually is a fairly cheap investment when you look at the return we get for it. I know $100,000 is a lot. It actually is $250,000. But I don't know if you want to, but we've got some money coming in, and we've got some places, but we need this. So it's big. But it's important, because it's not just being here in this room, it's the person that's watching right now. Hello, we love you. Come on, you love this church. You should come here. If you're close enough, I know you're sitting at home, but come to church. Come 11 o'clock. Come just in welcome. Come 11 o'clock. Yeah, we'd love to see you. Yeah. Don't. If you've got offended, if I've done something, please forgive us. Come, you'll love it. It's an outreach. So we want to be able to do that. And we're doing it fairly cost effectively. So we want to see the need. And in Jesus' story, they saw the need. Now, if you notice the disciples, they had some things going on in them that were keeping them from seeing the need. And they're the same things that go on in us. Procrastinating keeps us from seeing the need. And when there were thousands of people, the Bible says, I think it's in verse 35, that they had waited till it was late in the day. They had like waited all day. They knew that this is going to be an issue, but they didn't bring it up until the end of the day. They procrastinated. And sometimes people procrastinate. So weeks ago, we just said, hey, I want you to pray about what you could give. And you said, you know, maybe I'll pray next week. And then two or three weeks ago, I said, hey, I want you to pray about it. Well, maybe I'll pray next week. And now you're here and you go, if I could just get through this week, then I won't have to pray about it. He says, no, it's not good. It's procrastinated. It's not healthy. It's not good. And they procrastinated. They also passed the buck. Somebody else will do it. When there's a need, they actually said to Jesus, send them away. We know there's a need. We don't want to be responsible. Let's pass the buck. And somebody here goes, somebody here must be able to do something. And I just want to emphasize today that it's little that becomes much. I don't know what sacrifice is for you, but I do know this. It is healthy and good for you to give sacrificially. It's healthy to say, I'm going to go all in on this, because that expands your heart and it brings you into the faith zone. So they were procrastinating, they were passing the buck, and then they worried. They got doing the calculation. And some of you have done the calculation. Oh, I got added up. I got Christmas coming and Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And I don't know. And they did a calculation. When they needed the miracle, they did a calculation. They went, in Mark's gospel, it says it would take more than half a year's wage. In, I think it's Matthew's gospel, it says 8 months. It would take 8 months for. And so what they were literally saying is it's impossible. They were saying the people are hungry today. They need food today. But if we started working today, we would have to work for 8 months to feed them. It's impossible. But they just forgot who they were with. They were with Jesus. And little becomes much when you put it in Jesus' hands. That's what happens. So the first thing is to see the needs of others, because it's not all about you. The second thing is to see the resources that God has put into your hand. I love when this great need is there and they say, Jesus, we need some help. And he says, okay, I want you guys to feed them. And they're like, 8 months, Jesus, we can't do that. It's impossible. We can't do it. No, I want you to do it. What do you have? He literally asked them, what do you have? And it's a good question for us to ask today. What do I have in my home, in my family? What do I have? And what am I doing with what I have? Those are two great questions, life questions. What do I have? What have I been entrusted with? And it doesn't have to be much. There was one little guy that put his hand up and said, I've got 5 loaves, 2 fish. It's not much. But I'm going to put it in your hands, Jesus, because little becomes much. We all have time. We all have time. 1,440 minutes a day. We all have the same amount of minutes every day. We all have some treasure, various levels of treasure. And I don't know what sacrifice is for you, but we do pray about that. We have talents. There's a lot of talent in this fellowship. I'm always impressed by the talent that's here. And we can give of our time and our treasure and our talent. When God was calling Moses, do you remember when God called Moses? And he said to Moses, when he was calling him, Moses, what do you got in your hand? And he said, ah, it's just a stick. He said, that's good, I could use a stick. And he did. There's two widows, one in the Old Testament that's famous for generosity and one in the New Testament. And they both had very little. The one in the Old Testament said, I've got some flour and some oil, and it's not even enough for me to feed my family. In fact, I'm going to prepare a meal and I'm going to die. She was not very optimistic about her life. And the prophet said, that's good. That's little, but that could become much. And then the widow in the New Testament that Jesus sees, and she's a widow, and she gives like less than a penny. If you cut a penny in half, she's like giving less than a penny. And Jesus said, that was such a significant gift. Because when you give, it's not what you give, it's what you have left over after you give that you measure by. And he said, that was so significant. God loves to use little stuff. He does. He said, it's a little mustard seed, and it will move a mountain. And I promise you, you have a need of a miracle, but the answer begins in your house. The answer begins in your resources. The answer begins with your time, your treasure, your talent. That's where the answer begins. So they looked, and they said, we don't have much. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now, it's important that once you see what you have, even if it's small, that you take the next step and you give it to Jesus. That's very important, because you can have it and not give it. And this little boy, and we know, it was emphasized in the first teaching when Holly was going through this story. You can't have 15,000 people and only have one lunch, right? How many would agree? There was other lunches present. There had to be. Some of you would have had some granola bars. Some of you don't go anywhere without some snacks. Some of you have snacks in your purses right now. We could do an offering right now of snacks. So this little guy puts his hand up and says, I don't have much. I got a couple of fish. I got 5 loaves. And I'm very willing to sow it, to give it to Jesus, and put it in Jesus' hands. And Jesus takes it, and he breaks 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 it. Because little becomes much when it's put in God's hands. So it's so important that we have that spirit of generosity, that spirit that says, I am willing to not only see what I have, but be generous with what I have. And then, whenever we give, give with a spirit of expectation. First of all, give with a spirit of joy. I really feel bad for people that are miserable when they give, because they lose on both ends. They don't have much joy in giving, and then they don't have any expectation. And God answers expectation. Every time Darla and I give, and we tithe, we say, Lord, here it is. We're honoring you. And we expect the blessings of God. We are sowing, and we expect the blessings of God. And God has blessed us in so many ways. And you really can't outgive God. That's the story of this lesson. They expected a miracle. And the Bible says, you see what it says there in Mark 6? It says that when they broke the bread and 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 broke the bread, it says everyone had more than enough to eat. And that's a miracle right there. Because I'm sure there were some teenage boys. Have you ever, you have feeding teenage boys? Like, they will eat you out of house and home. So I grew up with 3 teenage boys. So, like, we were boys and we ate a lot. And so we didn't have a lot of money. But my mother would go buy old bread. This was her secret. She would buy old bread and she would freeze it. Then when I would come home from school, we would get a loaf of bread out of the freezer. And if you toast old bread, you can't tell it's old. That was brilliant. So if you toast old bread, you can't tell it's old. So we would toast bread, and literally, this is not an exaggeration, literally, I would eat a loaf of bread before dinner. An entire loaf. Then we would sit down for dinner. And my mother was also brilliant, because she never just... We weren't served family style, you know, where it goes around. No, she strategically measured out every plate. Because if it went to one guy, that may be it. So she strategically measured out everybody. So we got, like, fair food. And then I would eat my entire meal and lick the plate. And then clean up. That was part of my duty, to clean up after the meal, to wash the dishes. And then after I had eaten a loaf of bread and eaten my dinner, I would then go to the freezer and get a second loaf of bread. Not a word. I'm telling you the truth. And eat another loaf of bread. So that was a loaf of bread dinner and a loaf of bread with peanut butter And that's how we got through. That's how my mother survived teenage years. So here it says, hey, they ate and they were satisfied. That's a miracle statement right there. They ate and they were satisfied. And then they had this 12 baskets left over. Because that's how God is. Generosity brings abundance. Little becomes much. It's the miraculous nature of God. And as we said last week, it's so important how you view God. Not a God of lack and limitation, but a God of abundance and grace. And so, when they were done, 12 baskets. I don't know if the little guy's mother was with him or if they brought them back to her house. It would have been quite a procession. And this is how I view it. I view one basket per disciple, because there were 12 and there were 12 disciples. And so I see every apostle with like a basket. How they do it in the Middle East. They carry it on their heads. And they come to the little dude's house and they knock on the door. Peter probably spoke, because Peter was the spokesman so many times. And he said, lady, you sent your son out today with... 2 fish and 5 loaves. Jesus used that to miraculously feed like 15 or 20,000 people, and now there's leftovers. And she goes, wow, is that, yeah, that's how it works. And that's the spirit that we want to cultivate in our kids and in the rising generation, and we want to lead them in generosity. I heard a story while this series was going on about a young man named Sam, and he had heard a story of generosity that someone else gave. They gave generously. And so he felt then, because they had given generously, what he felt was to give the person that had given generously to give to them. And I don't know if you've ever had somebody give you money, but you don't need to do that. I go, hey, especially if you feel like they need it more than you. I've been given gifts by people. I go, huh, you know what? You probably need this more than I do. And that's the way this interaction was. You probably need this more than I do. And so the person that was given the money by Sam went to the parents of Sam and said, hey, he's I think it was $100. He's given this $100. He probably really can't afford it. And so could we give it back? And they said, absolutely not. They said, we want our son to learn to be generous. So brilliant. And we want our son to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is nudging us always to receive God's love and to give God's love away. And that's what happened. Our oldest daughter, Amanda, when she went to a missions meeting, she was young, and she made a faith promise. She came back from the meeting and said, I've made a faith promise to give $1,000. We said, wow, seriously? You don't have a job. That's a lot of faith. She said, oh, I felt to do this, and I'm going to look for little jobs throughout the year, and I'm going to fulfill that faith promise pledge. So we didn't discourage her. Okay. So she would do babysitting jobs, and she would do like little things here and little things there, and literally, the first year that she made any income, she gave 100% of it away. And we encouraged that. She made it up. She got into December, and she actually made it over the 1,000 by her siblings bringing their cash reserves, which weren't great, but bringing their cash reserves in, and in the last month of the year, helping her to fill her faith pledge. And that's the kind of generosity we want. We have these limited days. And they go by like a breath. I was recently in Africa, and I saw there a generosity and a joy in generosity that we don't really have here. First of all, when they gave the offering, I saw they brought it to the front and they danced as they gave. We're going to implement that next week. No, because some of you can't dance. Myself included, I am not a dancer. To dance for my daughter's wedding, Amanda, I had to take 5 lessons to dance for 90 seconds. But they danced. They brought it to the front. And then I saw this guy, and he's coming down the aisle, and he's got on his head a television. And he is dancing to the front of the church with not a flat screen. And his face was like radiant with just... I said, what's he doing? That's all he has. That's all he has. He is giving his television. Wow. So I just know, and that African church, raised over $800,000. Okay, maybe they could inspire us, brothers and sisters. And they're not keeping it for themselves. They're giving it away. They're helping others. Maybe they could inspire us. Just, that's the story of Jesus. That's why this story is there. And I promise you, if you move into generosity, I promise you that miracles will happen. Because the people I know, and I've been doing this a long time, for decades, the people that I know that experience the miraculous, they're the ones that are generous. The people that I grow, if you move into generosity, your spiritual life will grow. The people that I watch grow spiritually, because they get it. Spiritual growth is all about receiving the love of God and giving the love of God away. And they grow because it's a pass-through. They're the most joyful people. Generous people are the most joyful people. I learned that from my grandmother, who didn't have very much, but everything she had, she just gave it away. And her house was always filled with joy. And we only have these certain days, these few days. And the scripture tells us that our life is like a vapor. Did you follow this week the passing of the pop star from the 70s, David Cassidy? Did you see that? David Cassidy, who, you will not know this, but the Partridge Family. You're like, some of you know David. He passed very, very early, actually. He was 67 when he passed. And his daughter posted, and her post just hit me so hard. She said, thank you to those who have given condolences to our family. It was so heartwarming, and really appreciate people reaching out to us. And then she quoted her dad's last words, and they were this: so much wasted time. Wow. And then he died. Wow. So much wasted time. I don't want to get to the end of my life and go, so much wasted time. I want to get to the end of my life and said, I squeezed every bit of juice out of life I could. When Jesus needed fishes and loaves, I was there. I was about receiving the love of God and giving it away and investing my life and making a difference. So much wasted time. Because someday we appear before Jesus. It's going to happen to you and to me. We're going to look into his eyes, and I'm living to hear him say to me, and I want to be there to see him say it to you, well done. Well done. That's what I want to see him say. Well done. So I pray that we would live generously and live like Jesus. And that's all I have to say today. Amen. We're going to pray together. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for praying for me, too. Thank you for praying for me. I made it through with my Barry White voice. Hey, we're going to stand and pray, so let's do that. Our prayer team is going to come. Let's close our eyes. Can we do that? Let's all just know this incredible fact that Jesus is here. And I promise you, he is knocking at your heart's door. The Bible tells us that. He is knocking at your heart's door. And if anyone will open that door, he will come in and have fellowship with you. He will fill you with the love of God. If you've been far away from God, you don't have to stay far away from God one more moment. This great, generous, loving God will fill your heart with his Spirit, with his love, his grace. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it, you just receive it. And we're going to pray a prayer together that receives the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask everyone to pray it out loud, because God loves to hear your voice. And here's our prayer that we're going to pray. So let's lift our voice together, everyone, please. 100% of us, everyone saying, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my life to Jesus Christ. I turn away from my sins, and I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness and your mercy. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh man, that's a good prayer. Yeah, that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. It's good. So now our prayer is whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, whether it's receiving Christ or you need healing or you need maybe you need a miracle, that you will come to the place of prayer. That's why our prayer team is here, to pray with you and to pray for you. If you'd like to receive communion, you're welcome today to commune with Jesus through the bread and through the cup of the Lord. There's a communion station on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion, just a friend of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer, just a friend of Jesus. And I'm going to pray one more prayer, and after that, there's no other benediction. If you've been a guest here with us, thank you so much for coming. We'd love to get to know you. We really invite you to stop by the VIP room. We have some gifts we'd like to give to you, and just to meet you, and it's over here on the back at the your left-hand side. So, and have a good day today. So here's my prayer, just a blessing. Now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up your countenance. May you be blessed in Jesus' name. And I know deeply in my soul that because of Jesus, you are blessed. And everybody says, amen. Grace and peace to everybody. God bless you guys. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. God bless you guys.